Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I welcome you to the ABCs of Christian Growth during this program here, and of course all the time, and I thank you for being consistent and studying God's Word and being part of this. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy studying the Lord's Word. And that it's a privilege and it's an honor to be able to know the Lord's Word, and that the Lord would think enough of us to allow us to know His eternal things. And indeed, we are thankful for that. I hope that you've been having a wonderful day, and that your family's well. And excuse me. And that you're excited about going into this next study. We have finished up, I think it's 8 studies now through the ABCs of Christian Growth. And the next one that we're going into is study number 9. And it is the letter I. And that stands for the topic of immersion. And the reason that we're using the word immersion is because we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about baptism. And immersion is what the Bible teaches concerning baptism all throughout. And we're going to get into the scriptures and find out about this matter of baptism and what it is for, what it represents, if it has anything to do with salvation at all. Is there any power for salvation behind it? And there's a lot of different teachings about baptism in the world today. And this is a most controversial issue and very dangerous issue at sometimes in history. Matter of fact, if you study church history, throughout most of church history, this issue right here has caused more bloodshed than a lot of topics having to do with Christianity. Now, you say, Brother TV, you said bloodshed. You mean you didn't mean bloodshed, did you? Yes, I meant absolutely bloodshed. I mean burning at the stake, torture, killing your whole families, wiping out entire towns, all kinds of ungodly and wicked things being done in the name of baptism. And the Catholics have had a lot of background having to do with this thing about tormenting and torturing people because of baptism, and they brought it in and tried to wipe out, and they would do it today if they were allowed and he could get away with it. But we're going to go into this, and we're just going to study the ABCs of Christian growth concerning baptism and what the Lord Jesus Christ taught and what the Bible teaches concerning baptism. And we're not going to go into a lot of church history because I'm not that smart. Now, I have studied church history, but I'm not that smart about it. And but I have studied it enough to know that this matter right here of baptism, and just because of the differences in baptism, have caused a lot of Christians to have to be put to death. And not because they wanted to be put to death, but because they stood on what the Word of God said and not what men said that it meant. And because they did that, and because they did some things that they believed the Bible taught, and because they did not do some things because of what the Bible taught, then they were tortured and put to death. So having said that, we're going to go into this matter of baptism. We're going to learn what the Bible has to say about it. What does God say? And we're going to believe the Lord, and we're just going to, as a matter of fact, the way that the Bible teaches about baptism and immersion, as immersion, it's really, when we get to the end of the study, you're going to say, well, Brother TV, that was simple. Well, absolutely. It's very, very simple the way that the Lord brought baptism. The Lord's will concerning baptism is very, very simple and not complicated at all. And what he wanted baptism to represent, the reason people get baptized, how they get baptized, who should get baptized and who's eligible to be baptized and who's not. I mean, it's all very, very simple and put right in the Word of God for us to read and to understand completely, and there's no confusion to it at all. And remember, we know that our Bible teaches us that God is not the author of confusion. So it's not God's will for us to be confused about anything. So we're going to keep it real simple, and we're just going to learn the ABCs about this matter. And if you have been born again, then you need to listen to this lesson. And if you've not, I mean, listen to this lesson, because this is particularly important to you now, if you have not been baptized. And you'll hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to you concerning being born again and what his will is for you as far as following him in obedience and obeying him after you've been born again. And if you have not been born again, then you are walking on very thin and dangerous ground, because any step you take, you could fall into eternity. You could fall all the way through and fall into eternity without Christ. And according to the Bible, you will go to hell, and you will perish, and you will be tormented, and you will be punished by God for eternity. Now, that's what the Bible says. I don't want you to be punished for eternity, according to what the Bible says. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And I don't want you to burn in the lake of fire. I didn't want me to. The reason I got saved was because of God's grace and because God set it all up for me. The Lord saved me. I wasn't looking for the Lord when he saved me. But one thing I did know is that when it came to the choice of whether or not I wanted to go to hell or not, I didn't have any kind of confusion about that whatsoever. I did not want to go to hell. I might not have knew anything about heaven, but I knew what I knew that I didn't want to know anything about hell. And the most reason that I accepted the Lord, I think, was out of fear, because I knew that the Lord would do what he said he would do, and that I didn't have any control now, and I'm not definitely not going to have any control in eternity, and nor will you. And the Lord made a way out for you through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And if you'll receive him as your Savior, and you'll turn to him, and you'll call upon his name, and believe on what Jesus Christ did for you, the death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you mean business, you need to do that today, because you are walking on very dangerous ground. And with eternity being just a snap of a finger away for all of us, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that no man has the power to retain the spirit at death. You can't keep your spirit from leaving at death. And it says there is no discharge in that war. You see all them tombstones laying on the ground out there? Every one of them people couldn't, no matter what they did and how much money they spent and whatever they did, they could not stop from going in the ground. And you're going to go into eternity also. And a man and a woman are fools not to prepare for eternity. Not to prepare for eternity. So I pray that you will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today in your heart and ask Him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that you would do that today, and you wouldn't be ashamed. You know the truth. You know that you're a sinner. You know you are. And you know that if you got what you deserve, that a holy God would have to put you in hell. But He don't want you to go to hell. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you'll turn to the Lord in your heart and mean business with Him, He promises to hear your prayer and to give you eternal life just because you believe on His Son and what His Son has done for you already. Amen? And you ain't no different than anybody else. Everybody else had to come to the Lord the same way. The same way. Don't be fooled. All right? Let's get into this immersion thing. And then after salvation is something that's called baptism. And the Bible does speak about baptism. It speaks quite a bit about baptism. There's been a lot of history concerning baptism, and a lot of people have died in the name of baptism and walking by what the Scripture has said, and have given their lives, and they've been martyred because in the name of baptism. You say, I just can't believe that somebody would kill somebody else because of baptism. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they'd do it today if they could get away with it. But fortunately, it's not going on today, at least in the United States, yet. Okay? But if the Catholics had any, the Popes had anything to do with it, and they could get away with it, they would do the same thing they did in church history, and they would give you an ultimatum and tell you that you need to be that you needed to have your children sprinkled, have your infants sprinkled, and you needed to partake of that old cookie and or a little wafer and do all these things, and if you don't, then you're going to die. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, read some church history and you will. It's real. But concerning this baptism, let's talk about it a little bit. The Bible says in John chapter 17 verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The way that the Lord teaches us is through His Word, and we find the truth out through His Word. The Bible said, Jesus said, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We find out the truth about any topic, and we're going through the ABCs, and we find out the truth about these topics and find out the truth about all these different things by the Word of God, by hearing. And we have faith, and that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason that we stand and that we have our doctrine of what is right and what is not right and what is and what is not, and we develop our doctrine and what we believe is by our faith. And our faith comes from hearing, and our hearing comes from the Word of God. So we believe what the Bible says. Now concerning baptism, the subject of baptism is supposedly one of the most confusing and controversial of all Bible doctrines. But it's not. It's very simple to those that believe. If you're coming at the Lord trying to manipulate Him and trying to get your own way and make your own rules and control your own crowd and have your own following, then it gets controversial and it gets confusing. But if you're coming at the Lord in obedience and you want to know what the Word of God says about baptism and you want to be obedient and you want to mind the Lord, it's very, very simple. Many types of so-called churches have many types of so-called baptism. Some sprinkle, some pour, Some immerse. Some do it to infants. Others do it to adults. Some even baptize on behalf of those that are dead and deceased. Then others tell us that it's not important at all. So they practice no baptism. Now, what's the truth? All of them cannot be right. The Bible says there's only one baptism, one God, one faith. So there's only one baptism, then all of these different opinions and ideas of baptism and processes of baptism cannot be right. Only one can be right. All cannot be the truth, can they? Now, well, according to this relativistic society that we have going on today in this century, in 2019 now, according to this, the peoples of today, yeah, all of them can be true. Whatever flips your button, man. I mean, and get baptized in the sewer if you want to, you know. I mean, whatever pleases you, whatever makes you happy. Well, the Lord ain't been within a million miles of that kind of garbage ever. And the Bible never speaks of doing your own thing. If God wanted you to do your own thing, He would have never even started speaking to you and never had His word written down and never told you how holy He was. He'd just let you go. And you know what would happen? You destroy yourself just like every other sinner in this world. Without the Lord and without God the Holy Ghost to help us and to comfort us and to control things in our lives, we would self-destruct. And you know that, and I know that. Now, concerning this baptism, what are we to do? What are we to believe? All of them can't be right. So what's the answer? Well, we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to find out what God's Word says. And the scripture that we read a while ago, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The way that you do things right and the way that you think about things that are right is because you follow the teaching that is right. And the Bible says that God's words are right and that they are true. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now, history tells us, and we talked about that just a minute ago, history tells us that baptism has been a most divisive issue throughout, even up to this present age. Our Christian forefathers paid dearly for their stand upon the Bible's truth of baptism. Millions of them were cruelly put to death just because they refused to have their children sprinkled. Or that they dared to stand upon the teachings of the Word of God. Now, you Americans and you people that live in America, we haven't seen much of that going on in our lifetime, at least up to now. We're starting to see it gradually coming in now with this paganism and with this all the customs and everything else that's been going on, and then the apostasy that's been going on. It's coming. It's just that they can't do it in public and they can't do it publicly yet. But when it gets here, it's coming. There's no way that it cannot come. It's coming. We do not have to face such persecution as this right now, yet. But we ought to be willing to take the same stand for the truth and what God says. And I want to ask you that. If God says something concerning baptism in His Word, and He says, this is what baptism is, this is what it represents, this is the way I command you to have it done, and this is the way that me, as God and the Lord Jesus Christ, command you, inform you about baptism. Would you stand on that truth? Is it important enough to you about baptism for you to stand on the truth concerning it? It should be. Even the very smallest things. Either the Bible is right. I mean, do you think anything that God says is minuscule? That you can either take it or leave it? I mean, if God says it, I don't think there's anything minuscule that God has ever said. Do you? Even in casual conversation with Moses, I think anything we've read in the scriptures, that we've never seen anything where God has not, where God was speaking and the Lord was speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ or the Father or God the Holy Ghost, that anything that they've ever said was not full of meaning, right? That it had purpose and it had reason. Now, human beings are very famous for running our mouths and not saying anything, or it not meaning anything, or standing for anything. Now, that's what the Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it is. But concerning this baptism, you ought to know enough about it to where if somebody was to tell you that you need to get your children sprinkled or we're going to put you to death, what would you think about that? I mean, in what you know about baptism right now and the Word of God, if you could not get to the Word of God to find out what the Lord says about it, and somebody told you that if you didn't get your children sprinkled, that they would put you to death, where would your stand be? Where would you stand? What would you think? From what you know about the Scriptures and what you know about baptism and the Lord's will, what would you think and where would you be standing? Do you know? See, these things are important that we need to know, because God does not just speak flippantly. The Lord has not told us things just because He wanted to talk. The Lord's told us things because He thought that it was very important for us to know it and to obey it, and for our benefit. You see, God doesn't need to be any more perfect. He's perfect already. He's holy already. We're the ones that need the help. So concerning baptism, let's talk about what is baptism first. What is it? What is it? What's the Scripture say baptism is? Well, the first thing is, let's talk about how many different kinds of scriptural baptism. I'm talking about, now when we're talking about baptism, we're talking about what the Bible says. Okay? Not what anybody else or how many hundreds of different variations that you've heard or anybody else has heard or said, but what does the Bible say? Now, concerning baptism and what it is, how many different kinds of baptism does the Bible say there are? Scriptural baptism. Well, let's read some scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 through 6, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the scripture in that verse right there in Ephesians chapter 4 made it very plain and very simple and very understandable. He just used two words. One, baptism. Now, why would God say that? If there was more than one kind of baptism, why would the Lord say in His Word, one baptism? Well, apparently there's only one in God's opinion, one baptism. And He said that because He wanted us to know that. So, in the world today, are there more than one kinds of thing? One, are there more than just one form of baptism being exercised in the world today? You better believe it. But the Bible says there's only one. So there can only be one that's right according to the Lord and according to the Scriptures. So how many different kinds of baptisms are there? one. Okay, now we found that out about baptism through the scriptures. We can believe that there's only one because the Bible teaches there's only one. All right, let's move on. Now, what is baptism called in the scriptures? What does the Bible call baptism in the scriptures? In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. According to the Bible, the baptism of the scriptures is called a burial. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. You say, buried? Yep, that's what it says. Buried with him in baptism. Okay, so we're talking about what is baptism. Well, baptism is only one. There's only one baptism. And what is baptism called? Baptism is called a burial in the scriptures. All right, let's look at something else. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says that we are buried in the what? We're buried in the likeness of Christ's death. Buried in the likeness of Christ's death by baptism. Listen to it again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Like. So the Bible says that we are buried in the likeness of Christ's death. What does likeness mean? It means like. It means that like Christ was similarity. It's similar in appearance. It's similar in appearance or character or nature. It pictures something. It's a picture consisting of an image of a person or a thing or a likeness. It's a similarity or a picture. The Bible says that we are buried in the likeness of Christ's death by baptism. Now, what we're talking about is, what is baptism? Well, it's a burial. It's named a burial. It is, there's only one. And it says that we are buried in the likeness of Christ's death by baptism. So baptism is used in the scripture as a symbolic similarity of something. And it says that something is Christ's death. So it's a likeness. It's a similitude. It shows something. It's a picture of something. We are buried in the likeness of Christ's death by baptism. So it's a representation of something, isn't it? Okay, let's look at something else. We're talking about, what is baptism? Romans chapter 6, verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, notice it says likeness again, For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. According to Romans chapter 6, verse 5, we're talking about what is baptism. It tells us that baptism pictures a planting. Now, let me ask you a question. From what we've learned so far about what is baptism, according to the scriptures, and that's all we've done is read scripture, and your understanding, what action best pictures a burial or a planting as far as a likeness or a representation or a similarity? Would it be immersion? Or would it be sprinkling? Or would it be pouring? What would you say? Now, immersion means sinking until covered completely with water. You're completely immersed. All right? Immersion means a form of baptism in which all of the person's body is submerged. Immersion means the act of wetting something by submerging it. Now, submerge means to sink below the surface, all the way under, go under or as if underwater, to cover completely or make imperceptible. It means to put underwater, to fill or cover completely, usually, with water. Now, there's no doubt about what immersion means. Now, you know what sprinkling means. Sprinkling means like when you go out to water the flowers, and you use either that little bucket that's got the where you sprinkle water out of it, or either you use the sprinkler, or you know what sprinkling is. You're sprinkling, but it's definitely not immersion, is it? And pouring is different also. Pouring means is not immersion, and pouring is not sprinkling. They're all three individual in themselves and completely in meaning. So when we're talking about the scriptures and what baptism is and what we've learned so far, how many different kinds of scriptural baptism are there? There's only one. So we've got three different likenesses or three different things that we're looking at: immersion, sprinkling, or pouring. The Bible says there's only one. Okay, now what is baptism called? It's called a burial. And also it says that we are buried in the likeness of Christ's death. And it also said that it pictures a planting. A planting. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, in your understanding and what the scriptures have said to us, which action best pictures a burial or a planting? Immersion, sprinkling, or pouring? I don't know what you pick, but I pick immersion. I'm not a very smart guy, but I can kind of rule out pouring. You're not poured when you're buried, and you're not poured when you're planting. You're not sprinkled when you're planted, and you're not sprinkled when you're buried. But you are immersed. You're completely covered when you're buried. You're completely covered when you are planted. Immersion. You see what we're getting at? Baptism. The scriptures use the word baptism. But we're talking about immersion. And immersion is the picture or the similarity of what the scriptures are talking about when it comes to baptism. Now, we've got past that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, and we are baptized, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. That's in Matthew chapter 3, and verse 6. Now we're talking about what is baptism. All right, so we've got past this planting and burial, what the Bible says, and that we have seen that baptism in the likeness of Christ's death is more immersion than it is sprinkling or pouring. To say that something being planted or something being buried is like a sprinkling is stupid. To say that something being planted or being buried is like pouring is ignorant. There's nothing like it. But immersion is. Immersion is. Completely immersed. Buried. Planted. Okay, but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. This is a baptism of repentance when John was there, John the Baptist. And the question is where did John the Baptist baptize, according to that verse? Well, the Bible says, and were baptized of him in Jordan. Okay, so what's the answer? It's in Jordan. They were down in Jordan. Now, what exactly is Jordan? Jordan is a river. It's a river. The Bible says that he was baptizing, and they were baptized of him in Jordan. That's not hard to understand or hard to try to figure out. As long as you know what Jordan is. Jordan is a river. John the Baptist was baptizing people in Jordan, down in the river. Okay, we found that out. The scripture teaches it very plainly, very simply. Okay, now what is baptized? What is baptism? John chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible says, and John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Now, we're talking about what is baptism. We found out that there's only one kind of baptism. We found out that baptism is called a burial, that baptism, that we are buried in the likeness of Christ's death, that it is a likeness, it's a similarity, it's a picture. We see also that the Bible teaches us that baptism pictures a planting. So we figured out that it's more like immersion, way more than it would be considered sprinkling or pouring as far as a likeness or a picture. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. And we've used scripture in every one of these things that we're talking about. We're seeing what the Bible is showing us. All right, in Matthew chapter 3, it says that John the Baptist was baptizing in Jordan. What is Jordan? Jordan is a river. Okay, now according to that verse that we just got through reading in John chapter 3, verse 23, and John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Now, according to that verse right there, what was John the Baptist's reason for baptizing at a place called Enon? Well, let's read it again, and you tell me. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because, that's our question, what was John the Baptist's reason for baptizing at a place called Enon? Because, the scripture says, there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Let me ask you a question. Do you use much water and go down in a river to sprinkle someone? Do you use much water and go down in a river to pour water on somebody? Or do you go down in Jordan and find a place to baptize that has much water because you're going to immerse them? Now, I'm just asking, what does the Bible say? Sounds like it's getting toward this immersion thing, isn't it? It sure does. Baptism. Immersion. You see, there's no confusion in anything we've learned so far. The Bible is very matter of fact And it ain't trying to hide nothing from us or fool us in any way. All right, let's look at something else. Now, we're talking about what is baptism. And now, so what was your answer? According to your answer, John the Baptist's reason for baptizing at the place called Enon. It was because there was much water there. All right, so what would we say the method of baptizing is? Immersion, sprinkling, or pouring? We're going to call it immersion, okay? If you call it sprinkling or pouring, you see the nurse after this is over with. Now, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, like a dove, descending upon him." Now we know who this is. This is Mark's account of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." Now according to Mark chapter 1 and his account of the Lord Jesus Christ's baptism, when Jesus was baptized, what did he come up out of? He come up out of the water. The only way that you can come up out of the water is that you were put down in the water, right? I mean, come on. "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ thought it necessary to represent baptism, remember what John the Baptist said to him. He said, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and you want me to baptize you?" And the Lord said, "Suffer it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness." So the Lord Jesus Christ thought it was necessary to be baptized to show, and I'm glad he did, aren't you, to show this thing. Okay, it says he's coming up out of the water. And when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. All right, now, just a few more verses. And we're taking our time through this so we can thoroughly understand it and find out that this is not a confusing matter concerning baptism. Acts chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still." Now, we know who this is. This is Philip, when the Holy Ghost called Philip out to go and preach to this Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling at the time. And he led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got saved. Now watch what happens. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing." Of course, we know that God the Holy Ghost called Philip and said, "Go over there and join yourself with that eunuch on that chariot over there." And that eunuch was over there and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, said, "You know what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless somebody teaches me?" So he got up in there and started teaching him, and he went through there and showed him the Lord Jesus Christ and that the Lord Jesus Christ died for his sins. And he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized then?" You see, he was thinking about baptism. He said, "If you believe with all your heart," and what did he say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he said, "Okay, well, stop the chariot. Let's go down in the water and get baptized." And that's where this picks up. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch." Now, if he was going to get sprinkled and he was going to get poured, what'd they go down in the water for? They could have just done that. They could have done that in the chariot. And it says they went down in the water, both Philip and eunuch, and the eunuch, and he baptized him. "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." You don't rejoice about something that you do wrong. You rejoice about something that you do right. So when Philip baptized the Ethiopian, what was the relationship of both of those men to the water? Both of them went down in the water, and both of them come up out of the water, didn't they? That's what the Bible says. Okay, now from your honest study of the scriptures that we've talked about so far, what do you conclude to be the mode, according to what the Bible says, of baptism? Is it sprinkling? Is it pouring? Or is it immersion? I pick immersion. And I pick it because that's what I believe the Bible teaches. And I would look like a fool saying sprinkling or pouring according to what the scriptures have taught me in the last 45 minutes. Amen? The Greek word rendered, and now we speak English, and I got no problem with that, but sometimes we know that our Bible comes from the Greek, okay, but we don't have to know Greek in order. I'm just showing you something about this baptizing word. The Greek word rendered baptized in your Bible is baptizo, if I said that right. And the meaning of this word means to dip, it means to plunge, it means to immerse, it means to submerge, or it means to overwhelm. Did any of them definitions sound like anything having to do with sprinkling or pouring? Now, the Catholics are very, very staunch on sprinkling. In history, in Christian history, people have been burned at the stake, died, tortured because of this word sprinkling. Now, I know that some of the other faiths up in the north up there, and maybe even in the south some, but I know that the Mennonites, and I know they do some pouring. But that doesn't take away from what the Bible says. The Bible said that Jesus said, and he set the example for immersion. All right, now, Pope Stephen II, he declared the practice of pouring. Notice it said Pope Stephen, declared the practice of pouring for baptism was valid in the case of sick candidates around 754, the year 754. Now, the Roman Catholic Council of Ravenna in 1311 gave the first official sanction of sprinkling. That's when it started, or thereabout. Prior to these times, immersion was the mode used. Everybody used immersion because that's what the Bible taught. The Bible did not change and go to immersion. Sprinkling and pouring left what the Bible said about immersion and went to sprinkling and pouring. Okay? Now, in some Roman Catholic circles, immersion was still practiced in the 18th century. The Bible teaches the Bible teaching of practicing baptism is by immersion. The scriptures do not ever show anyone anywhere at any time being sprinkled or poured upon, whether they're sick or whether they're healthy. You'll not find it in the scriptures anywhere about sprinkling or pouring. Find it and show it to me. It's not there. But it does talk about a planting. It talks about a burial. It talks about the likeness of Jesus' burial. And it gives us all the evidence of immersion concerning baptism, and even tells us that they went down in the water and came up out of the water, and because there was much water there. So not very hard to understand, right? So that's our beginning in the study number 9 of baptism, about immersion and the way that the Bible teaches about being baptized. So what is baptism? Baptism is one baptism concerning, as far as the Bible is concerned, there's only one. Baptism is called a burial. It's called being buried in the likeness of Christ's death. It pictures a planting. And it said that John the Baptist was in Jordan baptizing, down in it. You don't have to get in the river to sprinkle somebody or to pour water on them. Okay? And he was baptizing in a place called Enon at one time because there was much water there. So the method of baptism, according to the scriptures, unless you're just confused as you can be, is immersion, no matter what anybody says. But God says it's immersion. It's like a planting. It's like a burial. It's in the likeness of Jesus' death. Was Jesus' death like a sprinkling? Was Jesus' death like pouring? It was like a planting, wasn't it? It was like a burial. Okay. Enough said for our first lesson. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we come together again on our next recording concerning immersion and baptism, we're going to talk about who should be baptized. Then we're going to talk about who has the authority to baptize. What does the scripture say? And why should we be baptized? And so on and so forth. Being baptized the Bible way. Being baptized is a commandment of the Lord. And being baptized, the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. There's some reasons why we should be baptized. All kinds of stuff. So we're going to get into the scriptures. We're going to find out. And by the time we're done with this, we're going to know what the Bible says concerning baptism. You'll know the mode of it. You'll know who is supposed to do it and who's not supposed to do it. You're going to know all these things because of what the Bible says. And you'll have the truth of God's word to stand on and to believe and know why and know whether you're right or know whether you're wrong. Okay? So, praise the Lord. Thank you for listening, and I pray that the Lord would bless you, and I know He does, and that you would prosper, and I pray that you're in health, and that your family's okay, and thank you for honoring God's Word. Bye-bye.